Crazy game tonight, Pearl off. Miami Dolphins, Buffalo Bills. Already would have been a very good game, but considering the week that Miami has had, specifically with Tyreek Hill and what happened last Sunday, it feels like there's even more on this game. And good morning, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins were lucky to win in week one. This is actually already an important game. They're 2.5-point favorites. I don't think Tyreek Hill is going to slow down for 1 second.
You're right about Tyreek Hill. Listen, it was a weird and wonky first half for the Dolphins after this the arrest and the detainment and all that stuff happened with the cops. They settled in the second half. Tyreek Hill scores a massive touchdown in the game, and it was really one of the difference makers, them getting back into this against Jacksonville, along with obviously the great play by Javon Holland that knocked the ball away from Travis Etienne at the goal line, kind of totally switched the momentum of this game. And yes, he was able to compartmentalize and go out there and perform, but now we've kind of had a couple days for this all to settle in. You know, there is like a delayed reaction. Now, do I think it's going to impact the product on the field? I do not. I do think that you're going to get up for this game because it's division rival. Miami has already said, in order for us to be considered a legit team, we have to be able to consistently beat Buffalo. And I think this is a very, very important one for them.
Yeah, and also, too, here, I have a question as a Bills fan. Josh Allen just sold out his body completely in week one and risked hurting his wrist, actually, on a touchdown. Did the coaching staff say, hey, Josh, you got to stop doing that?
I don't think this matters.
Sort of a four-year story right now.
Yeah.
But is he going to sell out to win a divisional game again? Because I think if you're going to bet on the Bills, then you need Josh Allen to be Superman. I mean, that's reality. But that was a little scary. Like, you have to realize, yes, he's not going to get hurt until he gets hurt. Like, at a certain point, he's got to slow it down.
We've been saying that since he basically got into the league. But there's a thing about Josh Allen where, and you say, you know, would he do that again for a division game? He's doing against the Arizona Cardinals, which would have basically no impact, really, if you expect the AFC East to be tight. This is going to have like little impact, I think, on where the Bills go.
Yeah.
And he was selling out because you want to know why? Because he had to. And
did he?
Yes. Because
you might want to throw the ball too in the red zone. That's possible. What? Hand it to James Cook. He doesn't have to.
Can somebody get open? Because
this is Cam Newton 2015. The quarterback wants those touchdowns.
I don't think he wants to be at the goal line making a decision with Buda Baker. And I actually think that in theory, he made the right decision, which is to try to jump over him because you're not going through Buda Baker. He's basically the best and one of the only good pieces on that Arizona defense. Like, that's the guy you don't want to meet right at the goal line. So he went up, and it's not smart, but it's never been smart when he takes this excessive contact. I can't tell you as a Bills fan, I think it's like a great game plan. I also know the guy can't turn it off.
Well, I'm just wondering. It just reminds me, like, we've seen this. The Eagles are this way, too. Certain quarterbacks want to carry the ball in the red zone. And I think that for him, he's just like jumping up and down. You know what? Just go down the one and hand the ball to James Cook. Like, can you do that for me for once?
You might see it. You might. But when the game's on the line and when you need a momentum shift, he's the guy. And so, like, this is the thing about you take the good with the bad with Josh Allen. He's never going to be a perfect quarterback. But what he does and the tone he sets and the leader that he is, like, on the field and how he single-handedly changes momentum for the Bills. They let the Cardinals get back into it because they gave up a kick return for a touchdown. That has nothing to do with Josh Allen. He had to wrestle the momentum back for a second time. And so he feels like it all comes down on his shoulders. And in some ways, I think it kind of does.
No, I think that's a false belief by him. I think that he's making some bad decisions. Like, I don't remember the incident. What was it, a fourth down when he was jumping over the guy?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, once he gets going, he can't help himself. Like,
he sees the goal line, like he sees the end zone, and the Bills were having a lot of trouble scoring, and they don't have a number one receiver anymore. This is now all a work in progress, so I don't think he can turn it off. And I think a division game, I mean, you saw two seasons ago, I mean, the Bills lost the game, he played like 100 snaps. I mean, it was crazy. He was basically dead on the field from exhaustion.
I mean, two TDs running, and he had a third one that was called off a penalty, which was a little silly, by the way. But I think he's making himself vulnerable. Like, I'm starting to wonder because of the wrist injury.
Yep.
I'm like, oh God, this guy's going to get hurt just like Cam Newton.
non-throwing wrist, but that impacts how you take the ball under center. It impacts doing quarterback sneaks. It impacts, you know, everything. So, yeah, I mean, is it reckless at times? It's effective. It's both.
Miami's defense is okay, but they got some big ones coming up. Like, are you going to do that against Baltimore? Are you going to do that against Houston, against the Jets? Like, there's a lot of big hitters coming up on that schedule. I don't know. That wrist injury makes me feel like Superman might be vulnerable. We'll see tonight because it's a big audience. I think he's gonna want to carry the ball.
I think if you asked him, he feels like he needs to do it. And they do hand the ball off a lot now. I mean, they are giving the ball to James Cook, and thankfully, I'll knock on wood that he has not been fumbling.
Right. They've proven they don't need Josh Allen to be Superman. In fact, they're a better team when he is handing the ball off consistently.
Well, but it only gets you so far, right? And then you're down in the red zone when everything tightens up, and if he sees a lane, he's 100% taking it. Makes him different. That's what makes him special, quite frankly.
What is that special anymore?
It was special.
Is it the same
Newton?
As Lamar Jackson? Isn't the same as Justin Fields? Isn't the same as all these other? If a quarterback wants to tuck it away, they have such an advantage because the defense is not set up to run against them. They just NFL history shows if you keep doing that, you're going to get hurt. So I mean, there are a lot of quarterbacks who could run. Just say, you know what? I'm not sure that's the best long term approach.
Yeah, it feels like when you're watching the game that they need it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll tell you right now, I think Josh Allen ran too much. I think Lamar Jackson ran way too much. And I think if the coaching staff doesn't sit him down and say, you gotta throw that football, because he's already banged up after week one, 16 carries. Like, what are we doing here? It's about winning a Super Bowl, not about like winning a week one game.
No, I get it, but they're all important to him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's
and they were
a
getting
big mistake.
And the other part, too, is the defense wasn't holding up their end. Now, the front four were getting home a little bit.
The Bills?
Yeah, Murray, but there's major vulnerabilities in the middle of the field.
And Murray did nothing in the second half. Yep. Nothing. Until the last drive, he barely completed a pass. He was, if he has to sell out, you said it perfectly. He had to sell out to win a week one game against the Cardinals at home.
Well, they were playing bad. I mean,
And
here's the thing about Tyreek Hill, you know, talk about scar tissue. I know it's a different uniform, but his speed, the Bills have absolutely nothing on defense that could possibly compete with Tyreek Hill's speed. They're going to have their hands full. I know few
there's
teams
one thing they do. They have they got to get to Tua. If you give Tua time, then Tyreek Hill's speed is going to kill you. You got to get to Tua.
It is Thursday, so with Tyreek Hill in mind, Manny, let's hit the multiverse.
Exploring sports' biggest what-ifs and could-have-beens. Let's dive into the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff.
All right, this is where the show gets weird. We do what-ifs, what could-have-beens. You just heard it there, Perloff. Today is it's an easy one. It's straightforward. How would the NFL be different if Tyreek Hill had never left the Chiefs? What if the trade doesn't happen? What if he just stays? It was one of the biggest stories when it happened. What does the NFL look like? I'll give you the floor first.
Okay, so they won two Super Bowls. I still think...
Since they traded him.
Yes, since they traded him. They're 2-for-2. I still think they win the first Super Bowl. They beat the Eagles in Glendale. I think it was 38-35. But what was the defining characteristic of the last Super Bowl team?
The defense.
And why did the defense get so good? Because they traded Tyreek Hill and used the picks on O.J. McDuffie and George Karlaftis. I wonder if that defense, Steve Spagnuolo's defense, is quite as good. And, you know, they had other cornerback. They let LeJarius Sneed go and said, O.J. McDuffie's our guy. Or, sorry, Trent McDuffie. Yeah. I call him O.J. McDuffie.
Yeah, that's
the
a
great
St.
Ignatius High School superstar. Trent McDuffie is their guy, and he's probably going to be one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league. So I think they would not be as good defensively, and I think last year's Super Bowl might have been trickier because I think the Chiefs have redefined their team since Tyreek Hill left, and it's a great formula. Run the ball, let Chris Jones and the defense win, and then Mahomes in the fourth quarter will make the plays. I think they would be a totally different team if Tyreek was still there. And I don't know if they win last year because I'm not sure they were going to win in 2023 with a shootout offense.
Yeah, well, even winning in Baltimore, you know, where the defense and the AFC championship game dominated in the second half. I think in this moment.
And by the way, so just to be clear, I gave him one Super Bowl win.
You still gave him a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
They're not back-to-back. Okay, we're reimagining what the NFL would look like if Tyreek Hill had never left the Chiefs. Now, Tyreek Hill, part of the reason why he left the Chiefs, or they'll tell you one of the biggest reasons, it was all about money, right? It was all about money because Tyreek Hill wanted a big contract, and the Chiefs couldn't do the 4 years, $100 million with $70 million guaranteed. They were actually asking Tyreek Hill to take a bit of a hometown discount. And while Tyreek says he would have done it, he says his agent wouldn't let him. I'm like, all right, well, you blame your agent. It's probably a good idea. If Tyreek Hill re-signs for the 4 years, $70 million, let's say that this gets into a contract standoff. They end up giving him the money because every wide receiver gets paid now. That means that at the time, they would have had a very difficult slash impossible situation with re-signing Orlando Brown and then bringing aboard Joe Tooney. And these were two very important offensive linemen. So I think if Tyreek Hill is there, the offensive line also takes a hit. You're talking about the defense and not having the draft picks. I think the offensive line takes a hit because they can't pay these guys. And I wonder if Mahomes is dealing with more injuries. Now, we see him play through injuries and win through injuries, but if you don't have a good offensive line, we saw what it looked like when they lost to the Buccaneers in that Super Bowl. So I think they're down a Super Bowl as well because they can't pay the offensive line and Mahomes gets banged up.
I hear you. I was just thinking last year's offensive line. Remember that they had Juwan Taylor and the guy Donovan Smith, I believe his name is, the Bucs guy, and they were so bad that they lined up 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage and it forced the whole NFL to change the rule.
So some false start machine.
I feel like their line was pretty bad last year for most of the season, and they still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Joe Tooney was a big deal when they got him. Now, he ended up being hurt, I think, actually, for the Super Bowl, but that was a big deal. He was one of the best guys out on the market, and they ended up getting him. Now, if they pay Tyreek Hill, do you have enough money to spread around for all these other guys? That's always the question. So that's our question to you. What if Tyreek Hill was still on the Chiefs?
The big one, too, would they have been able to pay Chris Jones? I tend to believe watching the Niners pay everybody and the Cowboys play everybody. Like, it feels like the cap is imaginary and they eventually figure out a way to sign everybody. You can get three or four stars. So I think they still... Now Tyreek Hill's deal, ironically, is not that expensive. You know, is he one of the highest paid receivers now? He wants a new deal.
He just got one.
Oh, he did get a new deal. Yeah. So I just think that deal probably wouldn't have killed them. I'm actually curious if they could have a mulligan. Maybe they would keep Tyreek Hill. I don't know what he was like in the locker room. That could have been a part of it, too.
855-212-4227. Quickly, EJ, how is the world different in this multiverse where Tyreek Hill stays with the Chiefs?
I think you guys made some good points about the defense potentially in the O-line, potentially having some issues. I worry about two big names on this team, Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. Chris Jones got a massive deal just now. I know they would have won one Super Bowl before that, but I don't know if Chris Jones is on this team right now if Tyreek Hill is still here. And I question whether or not Travis Kelce is still there, only because I know Kelce is always taking a little less than I guess the market would be for the top end tight end. But even that money is still a lot for a tight end. Mm. And who's to say, you know, these agents talk to other teams. They know what the market is out there. Who's to say that maybe the Chiefs came to give him what they've been giving him the last few years, and you don't have one of these teams say, hey, we'll give you top of the market. And they kind of whisper in his ear, hey, like, we'll get you this, we'll get you that. And maybe he doesn't say, hey, it's been great. I've won my championships. Let me go off the greener pastures and go somewhere else. And if that happens... Well, and if that happens, this Taylor
sunk.
Swift thing, this the one I think that they don't win.
Yeah,
definitely they don't win one of these championships because he carried them this past playoffs. Also, this whole Taylor Swift thing is just not a thing if Tyreek Hill is still on the Chiefs, because I don't think that Travis Kelce not being attached to that Chiefs brand, that dynasty that we have, if that's not part of the Travis Kelce brand, then Taylor Swift wants something to do with him. So I think that a lot of this world is different if Tyreek Hill is still on the Kansas City Chiefs.
That had a lot of assumptions in that right there. A lot of assumptions. You don't believe in true love between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? You think it was based on their win-loss record? That's awful.
It's a butterfly effect. One thing affects many things, Proloff. This is the craziness of the multiverse. So, yes, if Tyreek Hill stays, then Taylor Swift is dating some other guitarist
If they don't throw that flag on James Bradberry in the Eagles Super Bowl and the Eagles win that Super Bowl, Taylor's like, nah, you're not really a two-time champion.
You're a billionaire like Taylor Swift, you're a front runner. You're going to that's why this works. That's why this whole thing works. She's going to the most famous, besides Cowboys, obviously, but they lose. But like the most famous current NFL brand, the most visible guy on that brand that's not Patrick Mahomes, who's married. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, there's no doubt that he would have had no chance at Taylor Swift if he was not on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
None.
Who knew Cupid was so big?
I'll disagree with that, EJ, because in your multiverse, we're asking, what if Tyreek Hill was still on the Chiefs? What's the ripple effect there? How is the world different, the NFL world? I think everyone else would have gone on just fine. But you're saying Travis Kelce might be gone. Who's to say he's not going to one of the teams on the coasts, and he's either playing in New York or he's playing in L.A. or maybe Nashville, not even on the coast. That's Taylor's adopted hometown. They still may have gotten together because...
Of course they would have gotten together. This had nothing to do. He was a huge fan and sent her a note. You don't think Travis Kelce was already hosting Saturday Night Live before
Taylor.
He could find Taylor. The other thing, too, first of all, Travis Kelce's not an idiot. He was never leaving Mahomes. He's going to New York or L.A.? Get at it. Not in a million years. He barely gets paid anything. He gets paid like an off-ball linebacker. There's no way. Yeah, but Travis Kelce, he will not play with another quarterback. Can you imagine going from Patrick Mahomes to Zach Wilson?
Well, Tyreek Hill almost did. I mean,
Kelce and Mahomes are way different.
No, I get it. And even Tyreek Hill said he's been jealous of their relationship in the past. But we're talking about what would happen if Tyreek Hill stayed with the Chiefs. But let's go back instead of the multiverse. Let's get back to reality. Tyreek Hill, you could say the same thing. Why would he ever leave Patrick Mahomes? And he did. And he almost went to play with the Jets and Zach Wilson, and he picked Tua.
Because Tyreek Hill is a famous egomaniac. He doesn't think.
Travis Kelce, no ego there.
Oh, totally different. No, Travis Kelce's a tight end. Did you see him play in week one? He was out blocking for everybody.
This dude wants to be more famous. He is the thirstiest person in America.
Travis Kelce is definitely a team first guy. The former Cincinnati tight end. I mean, this guy is there.
Yes, he does nothing for fame. Give me a break.
But you don't think he's a team player?
No, I think he's a team player, but I think that Tyreek Hill on the Dolphins is a team player.
No, he's a wide receiver. They are never team players. Okay. Wide receivers are about one thing, themselves.
Actually, Tyreek Hill wanted 2,000 yards more than he wanted
to win. No. There's no team in Tyreek Hill. There's no I in Tyreek. There's a Y.
That's
like,
true.
Why didn't you roll down your window? No, I'm just kidding. The thing about Travis Kelce, he barely gets paid, so I think he would still be there anyway. And he does have a magical connection with Patrick Mahomes and with Taylor Swift. It's not about money. It's not about Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
It's about love. Can you guys just wrap your head around the fact that these are two young people who have found each other and are dancing at the U.S. Open?
No. Oh, it's about love. It's about love, all right. Love of fame. Love of attention. Love of,
what does Taylor Swift
love
mean?
Love of vibes.
Well, Taylor Swift loves it.
Love of clout. I mean,
EJ, Taylor Swift's not getting any of that stuff.
Are you kidding me? This Taylor Swift hasn't been helped from being with Travis Kelce?
I assume she was the most important thing in the world before Travis Kelce.
She's jumping in headlines that we would never have talked about her with if she wasn't with Travis Kelce. Like, would we ever talk about Taylor Swift on the show if she wasn't with Travis Kelce?
Yes,
probably
of course.
Not.
He's the most famous musician since the Beatles.
Pearl, we've led hours with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. There's no chance that if Taylor Swift was with just some other rando celebrity, that she would have major segments on this show or any other sports show.
I mean, kissing him right after the Super Bowl, a lot of people saw that. Now, her fame is huge, but he crossed over into a different demographic, and she crossed over into a different demographic. That's why I was sure she was going to do the Super Bowl halftime show. I was like, well, how does this end any other way without her doing the halftime show this year? But it's going to be Kendrick Lamar. So
now help me out with this. I think the Taylor Swift tour, which broke every record and was the most insane tour since 1979 or something, that was before Travis Kelce. Like, she does not get a clout from him. I disagree with that.
Also, what is she, the Who? She's been touring forever. Does the tour ever stop?
Yes,
she's the Rolling Stones. It's just a small break. They're picking back up in a couple weeks.
Well, the reason why she didn't tour forever because of corporate stuff, and like she had all this business stuff that was going wrong. That's why she's not playing the halftime show. That's always been like they've never been able to figure that out. She doesn't need the halftime show. Like, people play the halftime show because it helps their career. Like, nothing, that's not going
to
help
Dr. Dre didn't need the halftime show with Snoop Dogg.
You don't think Dr. Dre was down with that? Like, he's still, I mean, he's not quite as relevant as he was in 1993.
No, the guy's a billionaire.
Yeah, but he needs it. Like, he still wants to be in the conversation. Like, even Kendrick is as hot as could be. Like, it's going to help him. He's going to, Taylor Swift doesn't need clout from anybody right now. I don't think. It's like saying, like, the Beatles need a clout. And I'm sorry I'm talking about her like that, but that's the reality. I see the way my daughter and her friends talk about Taylor Swift. It's so different.
What was
that's right, but that's your daughter and your friends, Pearl.
But we
would not be having these conversations about Taylor Swift. That's my point, is yes, there's a certain demographic where there's maybe even billions of people. I don't know.
There's a certain demographic called America.
No, right. But my point, though, is that you're saying, yes, your daughter and the young people talk about it all the time. I'm saying, yes. But would we be having these conversations with her if it wasn't for Travis Kelce?
We talked about Taylor before.
Well, only
not like this, Pearl. Wait. That's what I'm saying. It's not like this.
Can
it's
I ask another question? So you guys saw the video of them at the U.S. Open, right? And Taylor's there and Travis and then Patrick Mahomes and Brittany are next to them. And they're like singing and dancing and kissing. And I was cringed a little by it. But I haven't been, like, tracking. I'm not, like, one of those people who's just, like, so rooting for Taylor to finally find love, because I think this is all fodder for her next album. But what was cringier? Watching them kiss and dance like that, or listening to Shannon Sharp?
Still Shannon.
Poll question.
Oh, boy! Yes!
nothing.
What's harder
Shannon
to watch? Or listen to in Shannon's
Bolero.
855-212-4227. Okay, somebody throwing a little hissy fit. Get to that next. Maggie and Perloff.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai's bold family of EVs that bring a new kind of energy to your journey. The IONIQ 5 and 5, IONIQ 6, and Kona Electric, the most electric EV lineup. Did I get that? 5 and 5N. I apologize, Andrew Bogus.
No, it's the IONIQ.
Yeah, IONIQ.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, it's not Dominique Wilkins. It's IONIQ.
Says it right there at the bottom, too. Yeah.
Well, if you'd handed me the paper, Manny.
No, I took it from Manny, and then I handed it to you in a sandbag move. It's my fault.
Well, the reason I took it back is because I wanted to steer the conversation to Robert Kraft here, which is a story that you were not interested in the pre-show meeting. I'll be honest. I'm just going to tell you. You're like, enough of Robert Kraft in the Hall of Fame. Because I get it. Because this thing has been... If you follow Robert Kraft at all, he put out two documentaries, has had countless reporters talk about his Hall of Fame candidacy. The Patriots owner has been dying to get in the Hall of Fame. It's been a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, it turns out it's like the one thing money can't buy.
Right. So ESPN's Don Van Natta put out a story about his efforts and some of the things he's done. He basically, Van Natta said the two documentaries were about his legacy and were to try and get in the Hall of Fame. But the reasons were interesting.
By the way, those backfired big time.
Big time. So that's what I was going to say. Van Natta polled a bunch of the voters of the Hall of Fame, and there were multiple reasons that they're not putting Kraft in. One was a cheating. Two was they thought the documentaries were self-serving, and that turned them off.
Oh, wow. That's petty. Okay.
He said multiple voters told him that.
Well, that's why people think some of these Hall of Fame votes are BS. It's like you kept T.O. out because he was had issues in the locker room. Like, what did he do on the field? You know, you're going to keep Robert Kraft out, who probably does deserve to be in because he put out some documentaries, because he's, the first person who's ever wanted credit for something?
But my big question is...
the whole thing with the Patriots dynasty. Everyone wants credit for it.
But is the cheating so bad? Like, are they sitting in that room and saying that Deflategate and Spygate are keeping him out? And if so, like, you're not going to keep out Belichick and Brady, so why Kraft?
Well, I'm thinking about that now. I wonder if Belichick does not get in first ballot. Maybe they make him sit a year like they made T.O. sit a year just to kind of show, hey, you were getting an advantage. And by the way, the Spygate stuff didn't stop. They did it again later, and they would say that we're coming from Robert Kraft Productions, and then they'd be filming the sidelines of games that the Patriots were not playing in.
Also, one more thing. Other people cited the massage parlor incident where he was caught in a sting. That's a little unfair, too, because here's my point. You're getting into a lot of outside stuff, and there's a lot of people in the NFL who've cheated. There's a lot of people. They're going to put in PED guys soon if they already haven't done that. I think Antonio Gates... is supposed to get in. He was busted for PEDs. I just feel like it's a weird precedent. It just, honestly, I think this guy's trying too hard and they're holding it against him.
Which is weird, man. It's like trying to date the pretty girl. It's like you're just you're trying too hard. Now, the thing I think that really chapped him more than anything has to do with our good pal Jarrett.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the fact that Jerry Jones got in. You want to talk about off-the-field scandals.
May I introduce
you to Jerry Jones, who's like currently in litigation about you know, what money he owes to a child he had out of wedlock. I mean...
Well, yeah, and I think Kraft in the story had a good point. He's like, he hasn't been to the conference championship game since 95. How is he in the Hall of Fame? And me with six rings is not.
He kind of pulled the Tom Brady on the shop. You're going with this MF-er over me? You know, but the thing is, and EJ, you made this point, I want to give you full credit for it, which is whatever we think about Jerry Jones and his impact on the Cowboys, he definitely has a say in player personnel. Robert Kraft doesn't. He's signing checks from a suite.
I mean, the one thing he did,
he traded Jimmy Garoppolo out of town.
Yeah, that's
Tom
what
Brady didn't want him there.
You're right. He probably did not have any influence on Belichick.
And he shouldn't. And that's what made him a good owner, quite frankly, is he stayed out of the way, even when he probably wanted to get involved even more.
What's the best draft pick Jerry Jones ever made? It was when everybody held him back from taking Johnny Manziel and said, you have to take Zach Martin. So I don't even know, like, the...
Well, that's the most famous one. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, Jerry... You think Jerry picked Cooper Beebe? I'm just saying, I don't know.
Did
that
he draft Emmitt Smith?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Well, Jimmy.
I don't know. EJ, I'm just saying...
he was the owner!
I think Jerry's a front man as a GM. I don't think he's a GM like Howie Roseman's a GM.
Like, so my only thing... Yeah.
I don't think he's breaking down the film of Kansas State football and saying, wow, I mean, I really like the way Cooper Beebe pulls on this play. I don't know. I think he's got a lot of help. I don't think he's a traditional GM. Is that
a hot general manager, of which I am.
I don't know. Look, I will defend Jerry Jones here. I think he should be in before Robert Kraft.
But also, he hasn't been back to the Super Bowl in 30 years.
That's fine, but he still helped engineer as the general manager and owner. Mm. The greatest dynasty besides the Patriots dynasty that we've seen, which was the Cowboys of the 90s. And he took them from being absolute garbage, one of the worst run organizations at that time in the NFL, and he created that whole thing. So if Jimmy Johnson's getting the Hall of Fame, Troy Aikman's going to get in the Hall of Fame, Emmitt Smith's going to get in the Hall of Fame, Michael Irvin, why wouldn't the general manager get in the Hall of Fame?
Jimmy picked all those players.
Jimmy is the one. I mean, Jimmy picked Russell Maryland. Like, Jimmy picked those guys.
But the general manager of those teams was Jerry Jones. It was not Jimmy Johnson. So at the end of the day, yes, he gets credit for that. So when we're talking about the overall totality of his career, I'm sorry, like Robert Kraft signing some checks and okaying guys with some cameras on the sideline. I would put him in the Hall of Fame, but to me, it's more impressive what Jerry Jones did in resurrecting the Cowboys as a football executive and the owner.
I just think it's interesting about Kraft being so influential and, you know, who really runs the NFL and all that. And they're like holding him out of the Hall of Fame. It's kind of amazing. Like the pettiness level is like a Steph Curry. It's like a 10.
By the way,
they should night-night him, you know, the next time they pass him over on a vote.
Absolutely. What did that mean? The Cowboys are the greatest dynasty. The 90s Cowboys are not the second greatest dynasty of all time, are they?
I said since the 90s, the Cowboys are the second greatest.
No, I mean the Steelers. I think the Steelers, the Pat, whatever. Yeah, 49ers. The Cowboys are in that mix, but I don't. I made it sound like you think the Patriots are the greatest dynasty of all time and the Cowboys are the second best. That is not. That's not canon, dude.
They won 3 championships in 4 years. They absolutely could be in that conversation.
Steelers.
The 70s Steelers, they went 3-4? I don't think they did. They won 4 over a decade. Anyway. That is not like some crazy off the top rope take to think that the Cowboys dynasty could be the second best dynasty. I wasn't even saying that. I was saying since the 90s, but we're going all the time. They're in the conversation for sure.
My point is, like, Jerry has not been the best GM in the world. If you were going to put, you might not put Jerry Jones in the GM Hall of Fame because it's been a long time since then. And I think Jimmy Johnson picked those players because I've seen the footage of Jimmy Johnson picking those players.
Let's get to Bogus. Stupid. He's got headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Maggie, I can't even look at you. I can't believe we're still doing this. I heard you guys last segment. Heartless. Still non-believers.
Even after
hearing things like this last night.
Something that I'll always remember is that when I would finish a take, I would always just hear like someone like cheering and like, woo! Like from across the studio where we were shooting it, and that one person was my boyfriend, Travis. Everything this man touches turns to happiness and fun and magic, so I want to thank him for adding that to our shoot, because I'll always remember that.
Yeah, that's Taylor Swift accepting the Video of the Year VMA for Fortnite last night and talking about the guy she is scheduled to break up with later this month. Apparently, this makes them award show official because she had never called Travis, her boyfriend, in public before. So that was a big deal last night. And you can't make up those emotions, Maggie. She's not winning Oscars. She's winning VMAs because she's a singer and she's up there with her emotions.
I'm surprised I didn't get an alert on my phone about that one.
She actually went to this thing?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought her and Katy Perry, who was honored last night, were rivals.
That's the whole song. That's Bad no longer Blood. A
thing. Sure they are.
But she was there early to win that award, and she stayed for a while because she was... No, but you know what? I actually think she might have been singing along to Katy. No, she was singing along to somebody last night.
No, it was
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a Latin singer also who was she was dancing with in the crowd.
That would be Karol G.
Thank you.
So do we know Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, have they figured all that out?
I don't care. I care about Travis and Taylor.
I think that you were watching the VMAs last night.
I 100% was.
I don't even know what channel MTV is on my kids anymore. I have no idea. Where do you find
VMAs?
Was this to bond with your kids?
To bond with my kids? No, but like because of my kids, I know about most of these acts now. And the Mets had already won. So last night, there was nothing really to watch, so the VMAs were up. And I watched them for far longer than I should have. I should not have seen 10 o'clock last night watching the VMAs, but
wow.
There I was.
What are the kids
o'clock.
Up to?
Yeah. Wild, man.
Yeah.
I get
for our
it.
Shift.
It's way too late.
Oof.
I watched the Sopranos doc. I'm telling you, everybody watch that. That is awesome.
It's just a making of the Sopranos?
Yes. It was about David Chase, the creator, but it is. If you like the Sopranos, set aside 2.5 hours tonight. It is awesome.
Yeah, the love of the Sopranos is, and yeah, I watched it on first watch. I am not someone who's like watched it 100 times since, but it's crazy. People are still obsessed with this show.
Yeah, this is, it's really good. Yeah, I wish you'd texted me, by the way. I did not know all this MTV stuff was going on last night. I'd seen the commercials, but nobody has let me in on this.
And they were right by my house, too, in Long Island. I should have even went.
Oh, the UBS
the full
Arena?
Experience. Yeah.
Someone should have texted you.
Yeah, it'd be like
what? Yeah. What?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw Lenny Kravitz was playing.
Lenny Kravitz played. My girl Chaperone was there. Sabrina Carpenter did a whole like a 5-song montage. God a lot bless. Of Katy Perry.
You know, I've seen Megan Thee Stallion live
at GovBall.
No, in Houston, she was playing right outside my hotel at the Final Four. So I sat on the balcony. We all watched Megan perform. She was awesome
from your hotel balcony.
Yes.
Do you get credit for that?
I was so close. I'll show you the picture. She's funny, though. I don't know how she did as a host, but she's really good.
I thought she wasn't bad, but she wasn't doing stand-up.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not like the ESPYs where they come up with 3 minutes at the beginning and do funny jokes?
I missed the very, very beginning, so I don't know how the show started. But
Who won Best Kiss? That's one of my favorites.
No, is that's the movie awards.
Oh. That's the movie.
Duh.
Yeah.
Who's the front
How
runner?
Dare you make that mistake?
Who's the front runner this year?
I don't think we're there yet.
It's definitely, it could have been Bo Derek and whoever was in this movie that I just learned about 5 minutes ago from 1984.
It's Shannon Sharp
Michelle.
Shannon and Michelle. Were they even kissing? I think they got way ahead of
Which face were they on? I'm still young.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I think they skipped that and went in.
You have Shannon and Michelle, Travis and Taylor.
Yeah.
Zendaya in that tennis movie apparently gets naked. I have no idea.
Oh, God.
She wins that award every year. I think she's going to be in the play. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? There's a
yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Big time. Was she, by the way, was she there?
I did not see her there, no.
Okay. She's a big deal in our household. Zendaya.
I don't think she has a musical thing right now. Like, I don't think she has why she'd be at the VMAs.
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't watch because you didn't text me, Bogus.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that. That was the text you were waiting for from me. My bad.
Yeah, the last text we got from Bogus was, ha ha, Dak Prescott. So, I don't know
no,
if we were getting
yay for waffles.
By the way, has anyone else here seen Sabrina Carpenter live other than Andrew Perloff?
And what'd you say about her?
I said, oh my gosh, can you pretend to be singing and not lip syncing for 2 seconds here?
I think you called it the worst musical artist on earth.
Yeah. I was like, Give me sexy red. I was waiting at that stage so I could twerk. I honestly did see the same stage. I was at this music festival in New York. It was Sabrina Carpenter straight into sexy red. Am I saying? And it was the fun. You should have seen me standing there looking awkward. It was an all time. Maggie, it would have been my Christmas present to video that and send it to you because you've never seen a more awkward middle aged man than me at the sexy red concert.
EJ, you know, this is fact.
That visual is one that I wish I could have seen.
I know.
It's a shame that America hasn't seen this visual. Perloff going, skee!
Yeah. I'm like, I said to my wife, I would twerk, but I'm afraid I'll throw out my back.
Really tapping your foot, at least anything, nothing.
You gotta have a backside. You gotta have a backside to twerk. So I don't think you gotta worry about your back. Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons I can't twerk. God, if I had a body part, anyone would want to see it.
That always works, huh?
That's our most popular drop.
Do you remember, Maggie, that you and I were talking about twerking one time on the show?
And I met you. It was like the shootout at the OK Corral. I was like, all right, be here noon. And we're going to do the twerk off. And I showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you bowed out.
You were out in the newsroom twerking alone. Billy Jocko was like, what the heck is Maggie doing right now?
It's called showing up.
Billy's never recovered.
Yeah. He called HR. Maggie's twerking.
Maggie's having a seizure. Like, no, I'm dancing. you jerk.
He went to get the AED device in the hallway.
On himself.
Shock. God.
He's clear. Like clawing his eyes out so he doesn't have to see it anymore. It's like, oh,
God, we need video.
Get acid to throw in my eyes.
Video of me at the Sexy Red concert and Maggie alone in the newsroom at 11 in the morning twerking to no music.
It's because I never dodged the smoke.
No music that we could hear. It was in Maggie's head. Come on, Maggie, jump in here.
In my head, it's like, work.
Oh, my God.
Great, Maggie.
That's more in my space. My space. We can't even do the update.
Baseball happened. It's online, guys. It's a secret I like to keep from you usually, but you don't need me for your information.
I was expecting more Shannon in that.
You kidding me? You are our main primary source because everything was happening at these VMAs.
But this I didn't is tell awesome. You. I can't believe I let you down last night. I finally had a chance to be your friend and I missed it.
Oh, come
I've tried so hard and turned away all the time and I missed the VMA heads up.
Yeah, so if you don't text him before the movie awards, you can consider this thing just dead on arrival.
Do you need a Thursday night football reminder?
That I do not need.
Okay.
All right. That's all. That's it. Okay, coming up, let's talk about college football. Can we please? Which one loss team would you bet to make the college football playoff? We've got our answers to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Talked a lot of NFL. Let's hit to college for a second. And tip of the cap to our pal Stu Mandel from The Athletic, who answered this question in his mailbag, and we thought it was a fun one, which is of the particular one-loss teams, a few of them, Pearl, ones who we expect to maybe be contenders, who do you have the most faith is actually going to end up in the college football playoff? So Here are your options. LSU, Clemson, Michigan, or Notre Dame. These are the one-loss teams, LSU, Clemson, Michigan, or Notre Dame. Who has the best chance of still making the 12-team college football playoff?
My top of mind vote is Notre Dame because the schedule's so easy and the brand is so big. Every other team you said just seems, all the teams seem flawed, don't get me wrong, but it seems like just I can't picture what I saw with Michigan, their offense doing anything. Clemson, because they don't take transfers, I just don't see them having the talent to do this thing. Who was the other team? Sorry.
LSU.
LSU, man, the SEC is so loaded. Are they going to... they can't take too many teams. Feels like this is not their year because they obviously lost a Heisman Trophy winner. So, to me, Notre Dame still has the best lane despite losing Northern Illinois. One more thing I'll say about it. Northern Illinois is really good. Like, the fact that they kept saying, these guys are all, they've all been here before.
Yep.
Felt like a college basketball mid-major that was just primed to have a big game. So, I'm hoping that was a function of Northern Illinois being better competition than we thought.
Yeah, which is funny because you mentioned about how, you know, Clemson, they don't take any transfers, and that's why they're doing so poorly. But Clemson's kind of hoping to do the thing that Northern Illinois does, right? Mm. Which is keep your guy, recruit high school, and then keep your guys in the building so that they're all getting experience and playing together.
How's that working
out? It's not working out great. But I will select Clemson for this exercise and for this question. We're asking which one lost team out of LSU, Notre Dame, Michigan, Clemson is likely to make the college football playoff. Most likely. And I'm going to go with Clemson on this because, yeah, it looked bad against Georgia. I think it's getting remembered as looking a little worse. That was a one-score game at halftime, but it ended up being a blowout, so that's fine. But then they they rebound with a 66-20 win against Appalachian State. Okay, so it's Appalachian State. You're the only ranked opponent that's left on your schedule is Louisville, who's ranked 19th now. Let's see where they are when you even play that game. There's no Miami on their schedule right now, and Miami looks like the class of the ACC. So all you got to do is get to the ACC title game. If you find a way to win that one game, you're in. So to me, for Clemson, this is still, I don't have to worry about the brand of Notre Dame and how that's going to play in. I don't have to worry about USC maybe being a boogeyman at the end of the season to give me a second loss. If I win, I'm in. And this schedule is setting up quite nicely for them. They don't play, they do play Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, but I don't know. I think Clemson has a shot here, and I would pick them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you think it's going to be so easy for Clemson to run this ACC table. Feels like it's going to be, I mean, ACC.
Let's see how many other people play Georgia and how it looks. You know, I don't think that's really an indictment on how you're going to look against Virginia and how you're going to look against Pittsburgh.
Well, it's not just that. To me, it's the way Clemson's been in that, in the ACC the last couple of years. Like, they're not dominant like they used to. They used to be.
Yeah.
And listen, we saw Cal be, well, that's in the SEC. Like, Auburn, these new Pac-12 teams, we don't know what they're going to do. It just feels like SMU's been a terrible disappointment, but maybe they'll get better. Like, there's just a lot of unknown. We saw Georgia Tech go out and kick Florida State's butt. I feel like there could
lose
be
to Syracuse.
Yeah, and Syracuse like looked good too with Kyle McCord. So
and they don't play
like,
Syracuse,
but they're weird landmines all over the ACC. That's all I'm saying. Like, and you know what I mean. Like, don't just instinctually. Don't you feel like Dabo is on such a downswing right now?
Yeah, but I think it's working. It works out for them particularly well this year because Florida State obviously doesn't look very good. They're at Florida State and at Wake Forest can sometimes be a tough place to play, but. Like, the ACC feels very much up for grabs, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe EJ's Miami Hurricanes will just run the table, and with, you know, Cam Ward, it could just be a foregone conclusion. But I like my chances there as opposed to you're saying there's landmines in the ACC. Well, then what's the SEC?
My SEC is ridiculous, but they're going to let a lot of teams in to the playoff from the SEC. Probably only one will get in from the...
Or zero. Maybe there's a possibility that only the ACC champion makes it in.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Probably only one team gets it in from the ACC.
Right. So if I'm Clemson and I win that game, I'm in, as opposed to having to wait around for an at-large bid and hoping that I get in.
I'm just talking about them getting there.
Yeah.
Because there are, but, you know, the other thing, the ACC is gigantic. There's like 1,000 teams.
They all are now.
Somebody could go on a run. It's not, to me, it's not a foregone conclusion. Also, if you think Clemson can turn it around, then why can't Notre Dame turn it around and beat all these, the Purdue's of the world?
Because there's no USC waiting for them at the end. Like, Miller Moss could be the Heisman front runner by the time we get to that last game of the season.
USC?
I mean, they look good.
Are they so much better than the teams Clemson's play?
I think, well, we'll see how they look against Ohio State. No, I'm sorry, Oregon.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. They play Ohio State, USC? Oregon plays USC. Let me get the schedule up real quick.
So, yeah, EJ, you're an ACC fan. Don't you think that, like, it's kind of TBD about who the powerhouses are going to be here?
It feels like it's Miami, and we're trying to figure out who the second team is. Could it be Clemson? Could it be Syracuse?
BC?
Like Syracuse looked pretty good. BC's ranked right now. I think a lot of people, I'm not sure about BC, I think. I think Syracuse is the weird team in that conference that maybe people are starting to get interested in. They actually played Miami the last game of the season, which is kind of
weird. Kyle
McCord
at quarterback. Yeah. So, sorry, USC has the bye week this week and then back on September 21st at Michigan. And they have Penn State, but that's in Southern California.
And one more thing, by the way. I assume you guys are just writing off Florida State, but they play Clemson, too. So they have a lot of five stars.
Yeah, you got to prove it. 855-212-4227. Coming up the next hour, Alex Smith and Shane Battier will join us.